out there. But right now we're going to head out to that where at the University of Maine at Bangor. And joining us right now is our, I'll call him our chief astronomy correspondent. He is Professor Neil Cummins. And he has been with us several times in the past. And we're going to talk a little bit about a story, believe it or not, I heard last night on Coast to Coast AM. First of all, I can't believe I was listening to that show last night. But anyway, it's talking about the fact that we have other countries now sending vehicles, ships to the moon. And we want to preserve our landings from the 60s and early 70s for the Apollo missions. And Dr. Neil Cummins, thank you for joining us here on KFGO.
Always a pleasure.
So let's see here. Let's start out first here. Apollo 11, obviously, was the first, right? So how many sites do we have on the moon right now?
We have a total of six. There's 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Seven sites we have.
Seven sites. And what we would like to see done is to have these areas protected. First of all, are you surprised that other people are... I mean, we knew it had to happen sooner or later, but I thought, you know, we as a country, the United States, might be going back up there someday, but we haven't been there since the early 70s.
That's right. It was mostly a question of economics after Apollo 17.
Now, what's the reason that these other countries are going up there right now?
Well, I think it's a combination of they have the technology and they want to use it. It is also... a great impact for their prestige. They may well find some interesting stuff. For example, it was recently discovered by remote sensing that there's a lot of ice, water ice on the moon. And so, you know, going there and looking in detail to see what other things, it might be that there is stuff there that that we can use in the not-too-distant future.
Mm-hmm. We are trying to protect our sites. That was a thing that came out in that story last night. The sites of the Apollo landings, kind of making them national landmarks, even though they're on a different, I'm not going to say planet, but on a different structure, obviously, the moon. Can we do that?
The short answer is legally no. Back in 1967, there was a treaty called the Outer Space Treaty. It was primarily, remember back in those days, for your listeners who remember back in those days, there was the Cold War. And that treaty was to prevent anybody from putting nuclear weapons in space. Okay, so that was the major purpose of that treaty back in 1967. However, built into the treaty were other things that said, for example, that... nobody could claim the moon for their own or pieces of it because it was part of the human heritage as versus any state's or country's heritage, if you will. And so that treaty is still in effect. Over 100 countries, including us, have signed it. And therefore, if we go and say the Apollo 11 landing site is our property and, you know, keep your hands off of it, from all I have been able to read and discuss with people, we really wouldn't have a leg to stand on. So as far as protecting the sites, it's going to, at this point, unless, you know, the UN legislation is passed or other international legislation is passed, it's going to have to be an agreement on the part of the parties who actually go there.
Wow. You would think, though, just by the nature of how everybody seems to want to get along on this Earth of ours, that nobody really would want to do that anyway, to go and disturb that site or pull something up and bring something back, right?
Yes and no. In the best of all possible worlds, I would agree with you. However, the reality is that if somebody was to go there and bring something back from Apollo 11 and sell it on eBay, they would probably be able to finance their entire trip.
That's true, too. I never thought about that. The missions that are going up there right now, does anybody have a planned manned mission in the near future?
To the best of my understanding, except for, very wealthy financiers who just have dreams of these things. To the best of my knowledge, no country has in the near future plans on going having humans go back to the moon.
Okay, so what was this thing that China launched the other day?
Well, it is a rover. First of all, let me correct something. I said seven that there are seven sites. There are six, and so let me correct myself. It's a rover. There, it's interesting. When I first started learning this history a long time ago, it turns out that the Soviet Union has two rovers that were successfully landed on the moon. So whereas we sent people, it sent rovers. The Chinese spacecraft has a rover, and that is going to be on. It's a large, dark area if you look at the moon on the upper left side from Earth, as seen from Earth. And they're going to be landing it on one side of, it's called a mare, this dark, flat area, on one side of it. Apollo 15 was landed on the other side. So there's no chance whatsoever, since they're about 800 miles apart, that this Chinese mission will be, you know, going any place even remotely close to, you know, any of our space, our landing sites there.
Okay. So we're good there. But once again, we look to the future of what might happen there. It's obvious from what I'm hearing from you is that there would be never, I doubt there would ever be anything intentionally going up there, except, you know, the guy who wants to, you know, put something on eBay. But it sounds like there's a lot of scientific research that wants to be done by other countries to go up into the go up to the lunar surface again.
Absolutely, and there's some fascinating things, such as understanding for certain where the moon came from. We have a working theory that the moon was created from debris splashed off the Earth by a giant impact from Mars-sized body hit the Earth, and that's probably correct. But it's only when we have enough debris from back from the moon that we can compare its chemistry with the chemistry of Earth rock to be absolutely certain that that theory is correct, number one. Another thing is understanding the chemical details of the chemical composition of the moon will give us some insights, as I alluded to earlier, about, well, maybe, you know, it would be financially worthwhile to go mine things there. That's not out of the question, but we don't know. One of the interesting things about the Chinese spacecraft, the rover, by the way, is named Jade Rabbit, which is the pet of the goddess of the moon in Chinese lore.
Ah.
One of the interesting things is it has a radar that can look into and below the surface of the moon as it travels around. We have that technology here on Earth. And so they are applying it there. So they might learn some very interesting things. For example, it turns out that there are on the moon's surface what appear to be tunnels that run long distances, and they may be able to actually look down into those tunnels and see if that is correct. And if it is, that's one thing. And if it's not, then, you know, what are causing these features that we see? And there are holes in the surface of the moon, they're believed to lead to things. And so this Chinese spacecraft, the rover, can potentially provide us with some very interesting insights.
I have to back up just a bit. You mentioned two Russian rovers earlier, I believe. Are they still operating, do you know?
Yeah, I do know they are not operating. They were sent up the same time we were sending our astronauts to the moon.
Okay.
And they are long since defunct.
Okay.
But they're sitting there.
And they might get a lot on eBay, too. You never know. I want to take just a brief break. Dr. Neil Cummins, Professor Neil Cummins, astronomer from the University of Maine. I have a couple of other quick questions for you concerning this protection of our moon property. And we'll be back once again here with Professor Neil Cummins in just a moment here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Coming up on 10 minutes before the hour here on KFGO, docking with Professor Neil Cummins from the University of Maine in Bangor. By the way, a quick side question. Do you know Stephen King?
Yes, I have met him once, and that's all. Although my older son James did tour his house.
Oh, okay. The one with the spider webs on the spiders and all the icky things on the fence around the fence area there.
Absolutely.
I actually interviewed his babysitter once, so there you go. Ba-dum-bum. We're talking about preserving historic moon landing sites, becoming a goal as lunar traffic grows up there. By the way, it was really interesting, too, that they were telling last night that the fact that, and this is, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but, you know, the flags, when they're put up there, they have this, you know, they're straight out. They have the bar that goes across, so you see it like it's actually flurrying, up in the wind. But on 12, it broke. They couldn't get it up there, so it just laying limp there on top of the pole. So, anyway.
I don't think I knew that.
Okay. Well, anyway, so the next step is, first of all, I want to ask you, how much are these countries paying to send these to the moon, do you think? What do you think a ballpark figure is to send these rovers up there?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I would say probably on the order of $50 million.
Now, you see, that seems like almost a pittance nowadays, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose the development to get to the point where they have the technology, that is to say the rocket technology, and then, you know, having somebody develop the rover technology, you know, the sort of backstory for the cost, much more expensive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, with just the fuel and the spacecraft, it may be something as low as that. I could be wrong by a factor of two, maybe. But to actually have arrived at the point where this is straightforward for them to do, it's been expensive to get there.
By the way, I wanted to get your opinion, too, because obviously it was government-run NASA, but now they have all these, you know, awards, prizes. Richard Branson, of course, is mm-hmm. one of those who wants to put a plane in suborbital flight do you think it should stay in government hands, or is private enterprise good?
Well, truth is, I personally think that private enterprise is good. There has been the technology developed for U.S. rocket, because all of our astronauts go to the International Space Station now on Russian-built Soyuz rockets. However, here in the States, there is a private company that is developing rocket technology, which so far has been extremely successful and is very promising for, you know, the near future. So I think that both in the engineering, that is to say that getting the people into space in rockets, and in the activities in space, such as mining, and manufacturing things potentially in space, tourism, of course, in the hands of the private sector, if people can and want to pay for it, I think that model works.
I got a note here that just over the email, they said, doesn't the moon have a NASA probe on it right now called the Lady, or LADEE? Is how you say that? I'm not familiar with that.
That's an excellent question. I honestly don't know. I'm not familiar with that one. By that name, it does have recent NASA probes on it. Most of the things that NASA has sent to the moon lately, however, have been orbiters, because we can, with an orbiter, survey a huge fraction of the surface. And that remote technology we have is pretty good. So the answer is I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting story, and we'll see where it goes. But right now, it looks like we may see Apollo 11's flag on eBay one of these days before our lifetime is over.
I suspect that if we do, it's going to be pretty dim, because the ultraviolet radiation from the sun has probably bleached it pretty much by now. So. Okay.
Do you have, by the way, have do you notice, have we ever gone up there, you know, with any type of rovers or any other type of research that we were doing that we actually did peek in on one of the landing sites?
Not in a rover, but as I said, with our orbiting technology, yes, we have taken pictures of the landing sites, and you can see the tracks of the rovers that we have still on the moon, and those are on the web, so you know people can actually go look and see, yeah, we really did go to the moon, and this is what the landing sites look like.
I want to find Alan Shepard's golf ball.
I understand.
Well, before I let you go, too, there was one other note here that was, this was a few, actually maybe a couple of months ago. Somebody was predicting, again, that looks like in the near future, and when I say near future, he was thought around 2034 or so, that we may be in trouble with some more asteroids heading our way. Have you heard anything about that?
The short answer is yes. The long answer is that's an ongoing adventure. That is to say, asteroids are coming our way all the time. And you know, many countries, including the United States, are actively cataloging the trajectories, the orbits of near-Earth objects, which is what they're called now. And there are some that are going to come close. Traditionally, you know, those that are going to come close miss. I mean, 65 million years ago, that wasn't true. But lately, it has been that they're there, yes, for sure. The likelihood, you know, that they're going to strike us is very, very slim. There are well-known statistics of how big an object has to be on average to strike the Earth every, say, 10,000, 100,000 million or so years. And the big dangerous ones, we're in a quiet period now. So, yeah, there definitely will be some coming, and we are keeping an eye on them. And, you know, if we have to go do something like move them, then, you know, we can always hire the people in Hollywood to help us.
Dr. Neil Cummins, our guest here tonight on KFGO. By the way, I don't think I've talked to you since that meteorite went through Russia and blew out all the windows out of that warehouse or school building or whatever it was. I found it fascinating that I didn't realize at that point that every vehicle in that country, for a good part of Europe as well, has a video camera in it.
Absolutely. And as your listeners may well know, the reason for that is that there are many accidents there, and the video cameras are often installed so that people can say, hey, look, it wasn't my fault.
When's the last? We haven't seen one like that for a long time, though, right? I mean, they're that close to a populated area. Usually it's one of those deals. They fall into the ocean or, you know, a little tiny one out in the farmland somewhere. But this was at a fairly decently populated area, wasn't it?
Absolutely right. And there was one in Mexico maybe 30 years ago, which provided astronomers with very interesting debris, you know, seriously. And of course, in was it 1908? I could be wrong about the date. Over Tunguska, in Siberia, it was a huge event. We don't know for sure exactly what it was, but a huge explosion in the atmosphere caused by something.
That was where? I got to look that up.
Tunguska, T-U-N-G-U-S-K-A.
Okay.
Siberia.
Huge. I'm writing right next to it. Excellent. Hey, before I let you go, you are, you know, extremely, I mean, you're known worldwide, obviously. I want the folks to be able to look up some information on you, and I know you've got a number of books out there. What's the best way to check on Professor Neil Cummins?
Well, there is a website, and you can find me at, here it is, ready, members.authorsguild, one word, authorsguild.net/, and then NFCOMINS/.
Okay. Are you still in that comic book in Japan, by the way?
Yeah, sure. 7 years running. It's a cartoon show. It's a cartoon.
Cartoons? Oh, okay. Very good. I forgot. It's cartoon show, not comics. Very good.
No problem.
Listen, Doctor, thank you so much. And I called you on a moment's notice, and you joined us here tonight on KFGO, and I really, really appreciate that. And continued success, and I'm sure we'll be calling you again in the very near future.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Take care now. Neil Cummins on the Mighty 790 KFGO.